نذهب مباشرة إلى القدس. تنضم إلينا شيرين أبو عقلة. شيرين، كيف تبدو طبيعة الموقف الآن؟
شيرين. نعم، التوتر ما زال على حاله بطبيعة الحال عند باب الأصباط. نعم، لا يسمح للفلسطينيين طبعا بالدخول. أوكي. أوكي. وتعرض كل من هو
معنويا أحيانا في تغطيات أنت تشارك فيها، الصعوبات هي تكون معنوية وأحيانا كمان جسدية، كيف تحافظ على أمنك؟
شيرين أبو عقل، الجزيرة، قرب حاجز بيت إيلة شمال رام الله.
On May 11th, 2022, veteran Palestinian-American journalist and Al Jazeera correspondent Shirin Abu Akla was killed while reporting on an Israeli military raid in the occupied West Bank. The question of who was responsible was raised immediately, even if the answer was clear to many.
ما لحقناش نتوقف عأساس نبدأ التصوير وبداية التغطية، بدأ الاحتلال بإطلاق الرصاص علينا.
الصحفي صار عنده هدف، لأنه بنقل الرواية الصحيحة عملية، بنقل الرواية الفلسطينية وهم ما بدهم يسمعوها.
شيرين قتلت بدم بارد، فأنا لما شفتها.
In this episode of Fault Lines, we speak to witnesses from that day, to her family.
When a U.S. citizen is killed, the administration has failed to do its bare minimum.
And search for answers and accountability in the killing of Shirin Abu Akla.
أنا مش بعتقد إنه إحنا كنا مستهدفين كصحفيين، أنا متأكدة إنه كنا مستهدفين كصحفيين.
اليوم إحنا صرنا إحنا نفسنا بنخاف من خوف الجنود، يعني اليوم الجنود صاروا مش مستعد يعني يستسهل إنه يدوس على الأسنان.
ومن لما فاتوا الإسرائيليين فاتوا تقريباً 5:30. أجاني هذا الفيديو مش تصويري.
May 11th began early for Ali Samoudi.
طلعت رحنا على الموقع. هذا صورته الساعة 6:03.
At the time, Israel, which illegally occupies the West Bank, had been conducting more and more military raids in the northern city of Jenin.
طول الأيام الماضية إنه كان قبل 11/5 كان الحديث عن إنه في عملية إسرائيلية واجتياح.
So this is the last video. This is what made you decide where to meet up, where was a safe place to meet.
Ali's worked as a journalist in Jenin for over 30 years and often worked with Shirin when she traveled to cover the area.
كنت متفق أنا وشيرين يعني إنه إذا كان في عملية، إذا في فعلا إشي، بأي وقت اتصل، مفتوح التلفون. هي ما كانتش تسكر تلفونها على فكرة. فاتصلت فيها قلت لها شيرين إنه الاحتلال اقتحم المخيم وهي قد تكون عملية. قالت لي أوكي أنا هيني جاي، شوف أنت كيف الوضع، إلا إحنا جايين.
شيرين رنت علي رحت يحكي لي اجهزوا أنت والشباب سريعا، في اقتحام لمخيم جنين.
مجدي بنورة started the same month as Shirin at Al Jazeera in 1997 and frequently filmed with her. This deployment was no exception.
وصلنا عند المخيم، وصلنا عند دوار العودة اللي هو المدخل الغربي للمخيم، ما كان في إشي، كانت هدوء تام.
When they arrived, they met up with Ali as well as other journalists there, including Shatta Hanaysha and Mujahid Al-Saadi.
بتذكر لما إجت شيرين صبحت علينا وكانت تمزح وتضحك معنا، كان وضع طبيعي لحد هذيك اللحظة.
بالمخيم كان في إطلاق نار، ولكن الجهة اللي كنا إحنا نسير فيها ما في اشتباكات، ما في مظاهر للمقاومين.
البست الواقي أنا وشيرين، كان في شباب موجودين متواجدين، صار يقولوا هاي الجيش فوق، الجيش في المخيم فوق.
ملان جيش، ملان جيش.
ملان. The group of journalists drew a crowd of civilians as well, including Salim Awad. He started a live video around 6:24 a.m. on the social media app TikTok. A few minutes after he started filming, he ran past the journalists to get a glimpse of the Israeli convoy up the street.
قطعت كمان مرة الشارع.
افتح سيارة. صبرنا ونخلي صورة. هلش استشهدنا.
كان الجو مزاح. حتى كان في ناس موجودين. في شباب موجودين. كنا بنمزح معهم. وكانوا يضحكوا معنا. فما كان بالنسبة لأي شيء بيدعو للقلق. وأي شيء بيدعو للخوف. بس كان صباح عادي. يوم عمل طبيعي. هيك بلش يعني.
ولبسنا شيرين الطقية. وطلت كاميرتي. ولبست الطقية تبعتي ولحقتها.
كلنا لابسين اللباس السلام المهنية الواقي الخوذة.
وقوفنا عشان هم يشوفونا جيدا ويشخصونا كصحفيين.
This is Ali and Shireen walking by Salim.
فإحنا لما تأكدنا إنه فيش مواجهات وصلنا نمشي بطريقة ببطء بخطوات بطيئة.
And about 25 seconds later, here they are walking with Shadha and Mujahid up the street, all in their press jackets, just past the spot where Salim had a view of the military.
فجأة طلعت رصاصة. فأنا صيحت شيرين بطخوا علينا لازم نرجع من هون. بعدني بقول لازم نرجع من هون. كتافي فقع انفجر. شيرين اتصابت أو كل شيرين طخوني.
بعد أول رصاصة أنا تمكنت من القفز على سور قصير لأحتمي فيه. شيرين وشذا وصلت ليلي عساس تنط تقفز عن المكان تصل لعندي ما استطاعت.
بلش اطلاق النار علينا. فورا أنا حطيت ريكورد. شفت علي متصوب ماشي علي. شيرين كانت ورا الشجرة لسه مبينة متخبي ورا الشجرة.
كانت آخر كلمة قالتها شيرين علي تصوب علي تصوب. يعني أنا ديني هدول كل يوم طول الوقت بيردد بداني صوت شيرين.
قدمت كمان مرة سرقوا لشيرين شيرين أطلق طلع كمان مرة أطلق النار علينا.
جاهد.
في عندي بعقلي زي سواد مش قادر أتذكر تماماً أنا كيف وصلت ورا الشجرة. وصلت ورا الشجرة وبلف في حالي بدي أطلع على شيرين أشوفها إنه هي تيجي لعندي. وقتها أنا شفت شيرين بتوقع على الأرض لأنه أنا ما مش مستوعبة إنه هاي الإصابة هي إصابة خطيرة. يعني
قدمت لقدام شفت شيرين واقع على الأرض. أنا حامل الكاميرا نزلت بدي أمشي أمشي روح باتجاه شيرين.
خليك معلك تتحركيش وجاهد تتحركيش وك شيرين وك سلام.
كل وقت بدي أحاول أهزها ألمسها أحركها. بس كمان كان في جواتي خوف إنه الشجرة هي اللي حاميتنا. ممكن لو أنا حركتها ممكن هي ترجع تتصاوب كمان مرة. لأ بتذكر لما طلعت على الأرض وشفت الدم لما بلش الدم ينزل. وقتها أنا استوعبت إنه رصاصها براسها وبلشت أصرخ إنه براسها.
شو ما بتتحرك بصير صرطخ. فحاولت أول مرة زي ما حكيت لك إنه أقدم ما قدرت.
اسحبوا ولك عادي بشان الله تسحبوا.
A young man named Sharif jumped over the wall to try and help. But he was also fired at.
قدر إنه بالرغم من كثافة إطلاق الرصاص قدر إنه ينقذ شذا ويخليها تقفز خلف السور. كنت أنا وياها نراقب شو اللي رح يحصل مع شريف خلال سحبه لشيرين.
حاول ونطيت عن السور هون سحبت معه.
وعرفت إن هي استشهدت.
أنا ما كانت ما فيش خلص فيش حركة لإلها. كانت بس رمشت عين اللي حرارة الدم أو دقات القلب الأخير.
أنا
أنا كنت في المستشفى وقاعدين بيعالجوا فيي وخلص، يعني أنا عندي قناعة إنه أنا هاي اللحظات الأخيرة في الدنيا. فسمعت صوت أسعاف جاي، فأنا بسألهم مين اللي تصاب؟ خير يا رب، اللي هم بيقولوا لي شيرين. ساعتها شعرت إنه هاي رصاصة تانية وصابتني، مش شيرين اللي تصابت أنا. فأنا بلشت أصيح كيف ليش وين، فأنا قمت كل الأشياء بدي أروح أشوف شو شيرين. أول ما حطوهم ما كانوا يكونوا جريحة، بس لا، كانت شهيدة، قتلوها بدم بارد. شيرين كانت إنسانة رائعة، صحفية ومهنية وملتزمة، كانت إنسانة كريمة، كانت مدرسة، كانت تحب الخير وتعمل الخير. هي أجت عشان تغطي الأحداث ليش يقتلوها.
بتذكر كل لحظة، بتذكر كل طلاق رصاص، صوتها لسه براسي، وما قالت يلا مجد الحقنا، يلا تأخرنا، يعني هي صوتها لسه، يعني ما لحقت تبعد عنا. هذا الكابوس كل يوم بشوفه، كل يوم بعيشه، كل يوم بسمع صوتها، هذا مش ممكن ننساه.
This is the rosary that was in her bag when they got it for us from Jeanine. She always had it in her purse. This is our filfil. Shirin had adopted him 3 years ago. I don't dare to say the nickname that we call Shirin because he would run to the door and wait for her.
How did you first hear about what happened?
I first heard about it from my dad.
I got a news alert saying that Shirin Abu Akleh was injured while covering in Jenin. And the first thing I did, I sent her a message and I told her, Shirin, I just got this news alert. Are you fine? Please call me. I'm trying to call you. And I tried to call her a couple of times. She wasn't picking up. You know, you get a ringtone, but no one is picking up. And I called my daughter, Lena. I was watching Al Jazeera until 7:04, there was nothing. And then there came a breaking news that, you know, this alert in red saying Shirin Abu Akleh was murdered in Jenin while covering. And it was shocking to me, shocking.
Two days after Shirin was killed, her funeral was held in occupied East Jerusalem. Thousands of people came out into the streets to mourn her loss, but also recognize what she meant to Palestinians. But the mood of grief and remembrance was quickly shattered.
The minute we stepped out of the morgue carrying the casket, we were attacked savagely by the Israeli occupation, beating on mourners, pallbearers, using batons, using tear gas, using stun grenades. They were just doing their best. They were trying to get to have the casket fall on the ground for no reason.
In that moment, it felt like they were trying to silence her again. They were trying to control the funeral procession, control how we're going to mourn her. It was clear that they feared her. They feared the crowd. They feared the impact she's had. And I don't think they anticipated this kind of a reaction from the Palestinians.
She was able to deliver the suffering and the voice of the Palestinian people. And that's how she was known, you know. You know, I still hear it every day. We grew up watching Shireen, hearing her reports, listening to her reports and all this.
That's my favorite picture of her. This is in her office in Ramallah. Sometimes she would report from home via telephone. And I remember she would always start with a countdown of like 4, 3, 2, 1, and then she would go on air. This is with the late Yasser Arafat. Afterwards, I would steal her notebooks and go to the room. We had this red Lego table. I would sit on the table with my Barbie phone and I would start repeating the same thing as her and pretending that I am Shireen, but I would end it with Lina Abu Akleh Al Jazeera and be using her sign-offs.
تحاول إسرائيل إسكات الاحتجاجات ضدها لكنها لم تفلح حتى الآن إلا في زيادة الاحتقان والتوتر مع الفلسطينيين.
Were you ever worried about her being a field reporter in Palestine?
Yes, we were worried from tear gas, maybe a rubber bullet, unintentionally probably, maybe hitting her arm, her leg, but targeted like this in a deadly spot. That we never thought of this. It never hit my mind that it would happen, but it did, unfortunately.
Shortly after the killing became public, the Israeli military issued a statement saying that Palestinians may have been responsible. The Israeli government distributed this video saying a Palestinian gunman likely shot Shireen. But the Israeli human rights group B'Tselem quickly debunked that, sending a researcher to the location in the video that day and showing that it was impossible that she was killed from there. We went to that spot too.
To get from the site where she was killed, we had to walk and take several turns through very narrow alleys, and it's an impossible shot. There's absolutely no clear line of sight. Why do you think the Israeli military would put out something that's so easy to refute?
I don't know that they were that thoughtful in that sense. I think they're also very used to getting away with lying about killings of Palestinians, both in the public arena and in the legal arena. And in a way, like the tactic often is, you just try, right? And often what happens is that these doubts linger or they're not refuted so directly. So in terms of like trying to control the narrative, you can see how their version has changed. So from, it was probably a Palestinian.
Here are the bullet holes from where he was shooting from. From there, you can see they're in the wall. And there's no way they could have reached Shireen. We're going to take a left.
Two, we're not sure who did it.
And then a right.
Two, it might have been us.
Another left.
Two, it was probably us. And each change in that narrative wasn't, you know, volunteered by Israel.
And the right. And there's a school right in front of us.
Each and every change in narrative was the result of all the investigations and the facts. And they arrived at a point in which they had no other choice.
And just here is where the Israeli military units were stationed.
But you can just imagine how many other cases there are in which there wasn't that much international attention, there wasn't video footage, there weren't witnesses.
Only from here is there a clear line of sight to where Shireen was standing.
This is where the Israeli convoy was. In the weeks after she was killed, one investigation after another, from media outlets to human rights organizations to the United Nations, said that an Israeli soldier likely killed Shireen. In September, the Israeli military said it was likely that one of their soldiers did kill her, but claimed that she was caught in crossfire. The problem with that claim is that both witnesses and video footage dispute that.
فلما سمعنا صوت الرصاصة وقفنا. مين اللي كان قدامنا بس الدوريات. مستحيل المسلحين كانوا بعيدين جوا جوا جوا. مستحيل رصاصتهم تلف تيجي عنا يعني. ده معجزة.
Also, Salim's video captured the minutes leading up to the shooting, showing that it was calm and that there was no crossfire or armed Palestinians near the journalists, which raises the question of whether Israeli soldiers could see who they were shooting at. To try and answer that, the research group Forensic Architecture and human rights organization Al-Haq reconstructed the killing.
Via photogrammetry, which is a process in which we convert precise aerial imaging and drone imaging of the site into a 3D model.
We spoke with one of Al-Haq's researchers. They asked to remain anonymous because of pressure and harassment from the Israeli government. We began from where the convoy was that day.
Explain how you recreated what exactly they would have seen.
We obtained accurate measurements of the position of the IRS convoy in relation to where the journalists were and where Shireen was exactly standing at the time she was hit. After open investigation into the kind of scope mounted on the M4 rifle by the Israelis, we used a telephoto lens of 200 millimeters to simulate what the marksman would have seen. The press label was clearly identifiable.
The distance between the Israeli convoy and the group of journalists was about 200 meters.
The shooter was determined that whenever someone appeared in his field of vision, he targeted them immediately. So once they stepped into his line of vision, we see him targeting the persons in his field of vision. And once they step out to behind the tree, out of his field of vision, he stops.
I can see the part of the tree where two of the bullets hit. They're about my head height.
All of these shots were kill shots aiming from the shoulder up, and both shots fired were within close proximity to one another. So the marksman was determined and deliberately targeting the journalists in that incident.
The Israeli military declined their request for an interview and did not answer written questions either, and instead referred us to their final report on the killing. There's another road to accountability here, though. Shireen was an American citizen, and her family has asked from the beginning for the U.S. government to conduct its own investigation. There seemed to be some hope of that in June.
We were looking for an independent, credible investigation. When that investigation happens, we will follow the facts wherever they lead.
Welcome to Israel and welcome home.
But by July, when President Biden visited the region, it didn't seem like the administration wanted to find out the facts. The U.S. concluded that Shireen was likely killed by Israeli fire, but that it wasn't intentional. Except they didn't specify how they determined that, and they didn't actually conduct an investigation. Instead, the official in charge of the report, the U.S. security coordinator, summarized the results of the Palestinian and Israeli investigations. And once Israel released its final report, the U.S. seemed to back off from pursuing further action in the case.
Both from the USSC findings and Israel's own findings, this was not an intentional targeted killing. This was the tragic result of a gunfight in the context of an Israeli raid in the West Bank.
The U.S. reliance on the Israeli investigation raises questions, not only because video evidence contradicts the claim of crossfire, but because key eyewitnesses say they weren't interviewed.
Has anyone from the Israeli military interviewed you as a witness?
No.
ما حدا حكى معي ك من الاحتلال من جيش الاحتلال من طرف الإسرائيلي.
لم أحد يقوم باستجوابي للأمريكان ولا الاحتلال.
The Israeli military has also not made public body camera footage from the soldier who fired at the journalists, or any transcripts of interviews they conducted.
So these are sham investigations, but a lot of resources are invested in them by the Israeli military. So why are they going through all these motions, right? It's deliberate. You arrive at impunity, but you don't pay a price in the public arena because, hey, we're investigating. And legally speaking, these sham investigations are a legal iron dome to protect Israeli soldiers from potential international legal consequences. They're trying to block the path for international jurisdiction, and they're trying to win the public relations game.
The United States seems to be relying heavily
on the Israeli investigation of the killing. Do you think that's adequate?
It's not just not adequate, it's outrageous. Like, this isn't happening in a vacuum. There are hundreds of other case files. This is well-established facts that Israel does not conduct investigations that are meant to arrive at holding people accountable.
For Shirin's family, the U.S. backing of the Israeli investigation was particularly upsetting, especially after President Biden declined to meet with them in both Palestine and Washington.
We really expected lots more from the U.S. government, but we're not getting anything. There's nothing except sweet talking and condolences, something anyone can do.
He preaches about press freedom, protection of journalists, but the way he did not hold the same values when Shirin was killed was very, very upsetting. And it just showed the double standards when a Palestinian American journalist is killed.
This is an American citizen. We have a duty to pursue the facts wherever they lead, as Secretary Blinken himself said.
Senator Chris Van Hollen has led a group of his colleagues in pushing the Biden administration to investigate Shirin's killing.
Why do you think the State Department hasn't conducted an independent investigation yet?
Their new view, not the original words of the secretary, is that they will take these other investigations that have been completed. The challenge is they've reached very different conclusions. You have, first of all, the IDF report justifies the shooting and the shooting death based on claims that there was a crossfire. But you also have independent analyses that have been done that clearly dispute that claim. And the IDF has not put the facts on the table that show how it reached that conclusion. They've not made public their analysis.
This was a U.S. citizen. Do you believe the administration has upheld their duty?
I do not. I think we have a duty to do what the Secretary of State originally said. They appear to have backed off, but I believe, and many of my colleagues believe, that we've got to get to the bottom of this and it cannot be swept under the rug.
The State Department declined to make Secretary of State Blinken available to speak with us. And in an interview, a department spokesperson continually deferred to the U.S. Security Coordinator's report and the Israeli investigation.
U.S. Security Coordinator on the ground worked with both Palestinians and Israelis, in some cases physically bridging those two investigations to prepare his own set of findings.
Let me just ask you about the central claim in the Israeli military's report that if an Israeli soldier killed her, it was because Shirin was caught in exchange of fire by Palestinian gunmen in the area. That claim is completely disputed by eyewitness testimony and video footage from that area in the minutes leading up to and during the shooting. Doesn't that discrepancy concern you?
Of course, we are concerned when there are allegations that a civilian was intentionally targeted. What the Israelis found and what our security coordinator found was that there appears to have been no intentionality. Our security coordinator found no reason to believe that Shirin Abu Akleh was intentionally targeted
by... Have you seen the footage?
...by Israeli, of course. And I have looked at everything that is available in the public domain.
Clearly, they have not done what they said themselves they were going to do. Secretary of State said there would be an independent investigation. There has not been an independent investigation. Backing off sends the wrong message around the world.
Beyond the State Department, we wanted to ask the White House about Shirin.
Thank you. I have a question on the killing of Al Jazeera journalist Shirin Abu Akleh. The U.S. Security Coordinator's report was not an investigation. It was based on the Israeli investigation, the PA's investigation. There was a ballistics analysis done that was inconclusive. None of the key eyewitnesses have even been interviewed. Why has the U.S. not conducted an independent investigation to the killing of an American citizen?
We said from the very beginning that we wanted it fully transparently investigated. We recognize that the Israelis did conduct a thorough investigation.
Do you characterize it as a thorough investigation when no key eyewitnesses have been interviewed and there's clear video evidence that contradicts the central claim in the killing of a U.S. citizen?
Look, again, we continue to mourn with the family, and this obviously should not have happened. But I'm not going to speak any more about the investigation that's been completed.
Last question.
Just 2 weeks after this, and over 6 months after Shireen was killed, news broke that the FBI, independent of the White House, would open an investigation into the killing. The Israeli government made clear they would not cooperate. Given that, and the U.S. administration's statement since the killing, it's unclear how thorough and transparent the investigation will truly be.
I think it could be helpful if it's genuine, but I think the U.S. has lost so much credibility so far in this regard. We're not in a neutral point in time. The U.S. government is now on record expressing its trust and confidence in the so-called Israeli investigation. So we're not at a clean slate in this regard. Like, we're deep into this territory in which the U.S. has aligned itself with the Israeli narrative on this killing.
يعني احيانا كمان الجيش مش معني انك انت تكوني موجوده فهو بيستهدفك انه يعني حتى لو قال بالغلط ممكن يقول انه انا شفت انه في شباب حواليكم فهو بتعمد انه يستهدفك كنوع من التخويف لانه هو كمان مش معني انك انت تكوني موجوده.
القوات الإسرائيلية تدهم المباني وتبحث عن المسلحين وتعتقل مئات المدنيين وتفجر وتنهب وتخرب ممتلكات الفلسطينيين ومساكنهم.
شيرين was reporting facts and truth from occupied Palestine.
والطفل عبد الرحمن ابن العشرة أعوام كان هو أيضا يلهو مع أصدقائه قرب بيته حين وجه جندي إسرائيلي رصاصة مباشرة إليها.
ما طلعت له طخن.
طخك وين؟
طخني.
ايش بتحسوا؟
ظلم قاهر.
She was very dedicated to her work.
عملية هدم منزل الأسير عمر جرادات كانت سبقتها خلال الشهور الماضية. هدم ثلاث منازل تعود إلى عائلة جرادات. هذا منزل.
This story in Jenin was one of Shireen's last reports.
عملية الاقتحام التي تمت صباح هذا اليوم استمرت لعدة ساعات.
Every day since Shireen died, we are hearing about somebody getting killed, shot by the Israelis with no reason, no justification given. No accountability.
Welcome to news of an Israeli raid inside the camp and reports of casualties coming in.
Nobody is even asking about it. This is the importance that when someone like Shireen or her colleagues are reporting this, they are documenting this. If no one is held accountable, it will just go on and on.
بتمنى لو بقدر أعرف ليش هم استهدفونا كصحفيين لأنه أنا هذا السؤال بيأرقني من وقت الحدث إنه ليش استهدفونا يعني بس في شعور جواتي عارف إن هم ما بدهم الحقيقة حقيقة إيش بصير على أرض الواقع في مخيم جنين وفي الضفة وفي فلسطين يكون ظاهر والناس تعرفه.
Shireen was one of at least 125 Palestinians killed by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank in 2022, making this the deadliest year for Palestinians here since 2005. During the military raid, when we were in Jenin, two Palestinians were killed.
يوم السبت أجو، يوم الأربعاء اللي قبلها أجو، وهاي اليوم أجو. كل ما
عمية أصحاب فلسطين إنها بتوثق كل هاي الاعتداءات والجرائم اللي بيرتكبها الجيش الإسرائيلي لعملياتهم منشكل خطر عليها. ليه؟ لأنه بنفضحهم بعمليات إطلاق النار، بعمليات القتل، بعمليات الإعدام، بعمليات الاعتقال. أنت لما بتنشر هاي بتعتبر بمثابة توثيق.
Aren't you afraid to continue working, especially what happened after Shireen?
يعني بخبيش عليك إنه إذا صار عنا نوع من الخوف صار عنا نوع من الخوف. لأنه عملية صفة فيش إشي اسمه أمان. هدف إطلاق النار على شيرين بتوقع إخافة كل الصحافة الفلسطينية في وحدة كبيرة في رأس كبير.
ولا الإشي اللي مات جواتي تحت هذيك الشجرة رح يرجع. بحس هلا بعد الحدث اللي صار كان شوي صعب بالنسبة لي أكون موجودة بالميدان، لأنه كل صوت رصاصة هو بذكرني باللي صار وبحسسني، يعني صرت أحس حالي كثير مستهدفة بالفترات اللي غطيت فيها بعد الحدث. كنت حتى الرصاص اللي بعيد كان بالنسبة لي هذا رصاص إلي.
After Shireen was killed, Shedda decided to take a break from working as a journalist in Palestine to study in Beirut.
بتخيل فكرة إنه شخص أنت كل الوقت طلع عليك كقدوة ونموذج، فجأة بتشوفه هو على الأرض مرمي والدم مغطي وجهه مغطي وتحته الدم. فبعد الحدث اللي صار حسيت في إشي جواتي كسر، فحسيت إنه أنا لازم شوي أكون أقوى، أحاول أن أكون أحسن وأحاول أني أرجع، وأنا عارف أنه رح أرجع.
سنستمر بالتغطيه، بنفعش انا اجي اقول لانه زميلتي استشهدت رح اوقف شغل. لمين بدنا نترك الرساله الموجوده بين ايدينا؟ لمين بدنا نترك معاناه الشعب الفلسطيني؟ مين اللي بده ينقل الامنا وفرحنا للعالم؟
قبل ساعات من احتفال المسلمين في انحاء المعموره بعيد الاضحى المبارك، تعيش القدس يوم حزن آخر يسيطر فيه الاحتلال على المسجد الأقصى، يحدد من يدخل إلى داخل المسجد الأقصى ومن يصلي فيه ومتى.
كان واقع أليم وثقيل علينا فراق الزميلة شيرين أبو عقلي، ولكن هناك ضرورات لإحنا نكمل.
شيرين أبو عقلي، الجزيرة، الخليلة. شيرين أبو عقلي، الجزيرة، أريحة. شيرين أبو عقلي، الجزيرة، جنين. شيرين أبو عقلي، الجزيرة،
قرب. شيرين ما زال إلها حضور، ليس فقط عند من شاركوها اللحظات الأخيرة، عند أهالي المخيم، عند الشعب الفلسطيني، عند الكل. شيرين لها حضور.
شيرين أبو عقلي، الجزيرة، القدس المحتلة.